call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Tuesday, May 29th, 2018. And as has been our tradition for many, many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on tonight's agenda is the approval of executive session minutes of May 14th.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Gullius to approve the executive session minutes of May 14th as prepared. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, and under the Maryland Open Meetings Law, there were three reasons for the executive session. One was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom this public body has jurisdiction, or any other personnel matter that affects one or more specific individuals. Second, to consult with counsel to obtain legal advice on a legal matter. And third, to discuss public security if the public body determines that public discussion would constitute a risk to the public or to public security, including the deployment of fire and police services and staff, the development and implementation of emergency plans. Okay, thank you. The next item on our agenda is the approval of the regular session minutes of May 14th.
Motion to approve.
Right. We have a motion to approve the regular session meeting minutes submitted by Council Member Gullius. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Next, we have the approval for the executive session minutes for May 15th, 2018.
Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the executive session minutes as prepared by Council Member Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Abstain.
Okay. The purpose of condition of the open meetings law, and that was to discuss public security if the public body determines that public discussion will constitute a risk to the public or to public security, including the deployment of fire and police services and staff, and the development and implementation of emergency plans. Now we move on to item two in the agenda, which is we have two special event requests. The first is for what I believe is called a Walk for Health, and the applicant and be speaking with us is Crystal Lockwood.
Yes, she's here.
Oh, there you are.
Come on down.
Yeah, you don't just come on down and have a seat. Just introduce yourself and then tell us what you'd like to do.
My name is Crystal Lockwood. I'm a resident of Berlin, Maryland.
And you can sit if you want. It's up to you.
It'll be better.
Make yourself comfortable here. This is not an interrogation.
Thank you.
Okay, sure.
My name is Crystal Lockwood, and I'm a resident of Berlin, Maryland. And I attend a church in Delaware, but I thought of an idea as a fundraiser for health, which I presented to you, a walkathon. Mm-hmm. I think on July the 28th. We'll be doing, we'll be giving refreshments away free, no charge. We also will be doing like a health screening and educate on preventive treatment for diabetes, your blood pressure, and et cetera.
Okay, and let's see. The I guess the basis of the event is at Steve McCater Park?
Yes.
And?
We're going to be walking around the trail.
Okay.
Doing a 5K, yes.
So how many times is that around there?
I have not measured it out just yet.
Okay, it'd be interesting.
I think it's six.
Thank you.
I think, if my math is right, I think it's six.
Okay.
Thank you. Is it 3.3?
Yeah, breaks are allowed, right?
No breaks. Yeah, keep it moving.
That's good to know, though, okay? And would this be the first time you've held this event at any place?
Yes.
And I noticed you said you're going to be promoting it through advertising.
Yes. Like flyers, word of mouth. I think we even listed at the television station in Berlin.
Okay. All right. Very good. I would encourage, because especially if there's maybe it would be yourself or some young person to promote it on social media.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
It's just nowadays, a lot of times, give you an example. Sunday morning when the both posts of the American Legion, because of the threat of weather, literally in about 15 minutes moved the location from on Main Street to the post.
That's a good idea.
And everybody, we had, fortunately, had one or two people down here to redirect, but most people knew about it before they even got it. And so it's becoming a very effective way to do social things.
Thank you.
Now, Ms. Lockwood, who's going to be doing the health screening portion?
We have several nurses.
Okay.
That'll be doing that.
Have you reached out to maybe see if the health department wants to come and Atlantic
that's
General?
That's on my agenda, the Tri-Atlantic General.
Yep, the hospital, the Worcester County Health Department.
And the Worcester, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
It's on my agenda. Thank you.
They're usually very anxious to participate in things like this.
I am.
They just know far enough ahead.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you'll have beautiful weather.
Yes, I'm hoping.
Yes, but we're not making any promises. All right. Does anyone have any other questions for Ms. Lockwood? Okay. Do you have any motion to act on this special event request?
So moved.
Okay. Well, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the Walk for Health special event on July 28, 2018 at Steve McCater Park. Time of the event is?
It's going to start at 7 a.m.
And it starts at 7 and until approximately 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Two questions before you call.
Sure.
It is being sponsored by your church.
Yes.
And is there any type fee for participating?
No.
Everything you said is being
it's free,
provided?
Free of charge, yes.
Okay.
Any other questions? All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the Walk for Health. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
The best.
You're done.
Yes,
thank you.
You're done.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
You too.
Uh-huh. All right. Our next request for a special event is National Night Out. Which has been held here in Berlin for several years.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay, thank you. The Chief of Police, Arnold Downey, is going to make the presentation.
Claude's been doing a very good job of getting everything coordinated and still has a little bit of work to do, but it's August 7th, 2018, and he has listed out all the requested items from Public Works, from the Electric Department, and from Water Resources in regards to setup. And he has begins putting out his letters for his different participants of that event.
Yeah, I notice here it says the number of attendees, not surprising at all, about 500, something of that nature.
I think it's going to be more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's great. I imagine everyone on the council is familiar with this annual event, and it has a very good turnout. Brings a lot of good folks together, and there's always good food. Mm-hmm. So we certainly want to stand in the way of that. And again, it's a night that is done throughout the country to help communities or encourage communities to come together with our law enforcement folks, and I think it's always been a big hit here, and I'm glad to hear that you're anticipating a continued growth. Does anyone have any questions for Chief Brown?
I'll make a motion to move forward with item 2B on the agenda, the National Night Out at Kenry Park.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve National Night Out on August the 7th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Henry Park. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Again, we wish you good weather.
Yeah, great weather. Okay.
Number 3 on the agenda is a presentation on our Berlin Bikeways project. And let's see.
If I could make the introduction.
Yeah, sure, please.
So we worked closely with Davis, Bowden, and Friedel. This is Tim Metzner. He works with Dave Englehart on this project. Mr. Metzner is going to go through the presentation and cover some of the key aspects of it. You have a staff report in front of you that Dave prepared. We'll just make sure there's no missing piece of information, and then we'll open it up to questions. But if we could allow Mr. Metzner to make his report now, that'd
sure,
be great.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Right. Tim, sorry. Go right ahead.
Good evening. Thank you very much for your time. My name is Tim Metzner, associate and landscape architect with Davis, Bowden, and Friedel. We are recommending the approval of the concept plan that's presented, be presented tonight, and also for the application to proceed forward with the application for the grant construction funding from MDOT, which is Maryland Department of Transportation, their bikeways program. We are proposing a 10-foot wide asphalt path that runs from the north side of town by the Route 50 off-ramp to through town toward the south, all the way to the end, Buckingham Lane. Is there a pointer on this?
There is the little line on the top. That's it.
Oh, yep. That's okay. Okay, thanks. So here, as you see on the screen, this is a map of Berlin. The existing railroad path runs on the west side, north-south, and that's where we're proposing to have the path. The total distance is approximately 9,550 linear feet, or about 1.8 miles in length. The asphalt path is going to stay entirely within the 60-foot wide Maryland-Delaware Railway right-of-way. There's going to be a minimum of 12-foot separation for clearance between the edge of the path and the outside rail. That's consistent with the existing clearances along the railway. The path is located, will be located on the western side of the rail. The path is going to be located on the western side of the railroad tracks from Buckingham Lane all the way to about midway up where it crosses Main Street. At that point, it will have a road crossing and go on the east side of the tracks from that point all the way up to the Route 50 off-ramp.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Since we can't see where your pointer is that where it says C1.5?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's correct, yeah. Okay. So C1.0 is all the way at the southern portion where Buckingham Lane is, and then C1.5 right in the middle is that intersection of Main Street. That's
okay.
Correct. We will propose to keep stormwater within the right-of-way. We have currently worked with the geotechs and also prepared surveys to get the grading and the stormwater designs. So go to the next slide here. As you'll see, the bicyclists, as they approach these intersections, we are proposing the green thermoplast paintings along that 100 feet in front of and beyond each intersection. This advises the bicyclists that they're approaching an intersection. This is very common. A lot of towns in Maryland actually have started to do this. Cambridge is one. Downtown Silver Spring, Maryland is another one. And as the vehicular traffic enters the comes to the intersection as well, they see the green striped piano keys is, you know, what they kind of refer them to as well, that the crosswalks, except for they're green. So that gives the vehicle or vehicular traffic the understanding that it is a bike crossing. It's becoming common and becoming a way of them to know that to approach the intersection with caution. Pedestrian crosswalks are still white. It's just that they tend to show this now as green with the bikes. We are proposing site furnishings along the path. At this point, right behind the lady on the bike in the intersection, there is a bench shown. Some of the furnishings we're proposing are benches, water fountains, trash receptacles located throughout.
Will there be signs on the roadway to let motorists know that this is going to be a point of crossing for bikes?
Yes, we do have, we will be proposing signage both for vehicular and bicycle traffic. The distance we're proposing, this is another example of the different kind of pull-offs or benches, areas to rest. The distance varied along this path depending on the site constraints. We tried to create a seated area or a pull-off every 600 feet or about a tenth of a mile. So just kind of keep consistency throughout the path. We are proposing water fountains along the path. However, we've tried to keep them closer to the intersections just because of extending the water main down this entire length is going to be costly and also difficult for maintenance purposes for the town. Lighting.
Approximately, I mean, we're talking about two or a couple?
No, at all the intersections. So,
how many intersections are we talking about crossing here? Not 15. Not,
right, no. We've got at the bottom C1.0, right in the middle C1.3, 1.4, C1.5, C1.7, and then at this point that's where it would end.
So 4 or 5.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Lighting, we are proposing lighting at the seated areas. A lot of these do, the way that where they land, they do fall closer to streets. So in this particular case, street lighting is already shown for this stretch of path, so we wouldn't have to propose any additional lighting. For budgetary purposes, we did provide estimates for the entire length. However, you know, that's that construction of that along the path, the whole path is dependent upon funding and the construction cost.
To make sure I'm understanding you here, say the total estimate. So it's all lighting in the alternate part, or is there any lighting included in your what I call basic total estimate, which ranges from $240,000 to $302,500?
We kept all lighting in the alternate.
Okay.
So it was just it was a line item strictly for lighting.
But it could be done, especially where we have our own electric utility.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do it initially. We could come back and do it as a separate phase.
That is correct.
Without
yes.
Messing up the whole thing because the lighting wouldn't be in the path anyway, it'd be just adjacent.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep. What's the life expectancy of that surface?
Asphalt's typically 15, 20 years. Depends if there's, you know.
Even with bicycles and running and
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah. It could be actually potentially longer because there's not as much heavy vehicular traffic on it. So. You know, you could be looking at 20 to maybe 25, but
the thickness of it is it just like you were doing a road? Or?
Yeah, we're proposing 2 inches.
2 inches.
Of asphalt over, I believe, 6 inches of...
aggregate.
Yeah. 6 inches of aggregate. So 6 inches of stone. The path, due to the pretty extensive length here, we are proposing to break it up into 3 phases. You guys do have the cost estimates for each of the phases. How we broke that up was the southern portion would be from Buckingham Lane, which is on that plan C1.0, and that goes to Broad Street, which is C1.3.
If I could just add for a second, actually in your packet it's from Evans Road to Broad Street. Mm-hmm. So the information's behind staff report, the actual estimates.
Let me just cut for not the written reference, but we're talking about proposing going from not starting at Route 50, not starting at Evans Road, but we're talking about...
We're actually proposing, if you don't mind me just jumping in, we're actually proposing that we start at the segment that's from Berlin Falls Park to Broad Street. And those detailed cost estimates are also in your packet. There's some reasons for that, one of which is to sort of increase activity at the park. We think it's a good place to start. There's plenty of parking for a trailhead, and it's a nice way to sort of get folks, you know, their alternative way to get into town from that location.
Just to sum up, because, you know, and you're doing fine, but just so we can get an overall picture.
Sure.
So the... Proposed initial bikeway is from Berlin Falls Park, which is just on the north side of Old Ocean City Boulevard, down to Broad Street, right? South, going south to Broad Street. Then the mayor and council, with input from the community, you know, as you is that certainly, that then it would either be from Berlin Falls Park up to Route 50, or it would be going from Broad Street down to Evans Road.
Okay. That's right.
So just want to make that clear that we're doing this in 3 segments. We don't know the timeline yet, but just where we're beginning. Mm-hmm. And one of the ideas there is, as Berlin Falls Park is developed, then it already have a bike connection, bikeway, and running and walking, and just connection to the downtown.
Right.
To me, I think that's going to be, you know, centered, and then the popularity and use of that will lead to the other 2 extensions.
Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons why we're recommending a phased implementation is the state of Maryland, we believe, has about $3 million in money for bikeway projects. If the town were to pursue funding for the entire length of the project, that's close to $1 million.
Yeah,
and we think it's unlikely that the state will give us a third of what they have budgeted for bikeways. A much more, I think, sensible and probably strategic approach would be to take a portion of the project, and that's why we're saying that section that starts at the park and runs into town would be primed for a grant application. Part of what we're asking for you to talk about tonight is granting us permission to apply for that grant. There's some match that's required. Mm-hmm. But I did want Tim to sort of show some of the additional slides. He's got some nice pictures of some of the amenities that we have proposed as part of this. If we could just go back to his presentation. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah. Nice. So that's kind of the approach to take. You know, each of those phases are about equal in length. So, you know, what's the best approach to take the one that's had the highest visibility, the one that's going to have the most success rate as far as, you know, use, and that was the whole purpose behind, you know, selecting that central portion there with the downtown. And so therefore, you know, some of the areas that we were focusing on were the, you know, the pull-offs where, you know, the drinking fountain and the bench, and then the lighting, the street lighting. This is an example right here, kind of brings it into scale. So the attractive seating areas kind of also let you know that you're you're coming up onto the next one, you know, you can see it from a distance, so you can kind of push yourself to go that next little tenth of a mile. So that's what each one of these areas, I'll show you here, yeah, so this is kind of what we're proposing along the path and with the different stationings. And as you can see, you know, we're looking at about 600 to 800 feet. On this one, there's we tried to keep it as consistent as possible, but that's what we're looking at right here along the path. This is, you know, an example here of what it would look like as you enter, as it is today, with the path superimposed over top of the existing. The blow up of each area that we're proposing, and as Laura mentioned there, that, you know, the construction estimates we did provide for each phase. However, you know, I think we're looking at proposing the cost estimate for the Berlin Falls Park to Broad Street in the cost estimate. We do provide all the implementation and the materials. Also provided in there was what we anticipated the annual maintenance to be. Grass cutting, weeding, if there's any stormwater, you know, needs to be cleaned out. You know, it's that was all kind of taken into account. So at this point, any questions?
But if I could just add, so we also have in the alternate, and Tim mentioned this, we've got lighting as an alternate, and that's a question for the mayor and council as to whether or not you want to treat the pathway as a form of a linear park. Your parks are dawn to dusk, typically. So one question for the council would be, is it your expectation that this will be a lighted pathway? In some areas, that means it will be lighted pretty close to the backs of some folks' homes. And you do have a tradition of having your parks function really just during the daylight hours from dawn to dusk. So that's one option in terms of the alternate for the cost estimate. We also were asked to take a look at extending the brick overlays that you see in the downtown area to the intersections and the crossings along the path. So our preferred, or I guess our recommended way of approaching this would be to use the more traditional green designation, which is becoming more of a way of identifying and marking for bicyclists and drivers those intersections? Or is it the council's preference to have brick overlay designations throughout the path to sort of tie in that look with downtown? And then another alternate we provided in here was, and it's pretty expensive, but ouch. We were asked to look at sort of what would it look, I mean, you know, if you think about it, you could brick overlay the entire pathway. That would look pretty cool. But it does come with a pretty hefty price tag, and so we have that in there as an alternate.
But we're talking about
as
the,
well.
Oh, it's simulated. It's not brick.
Yeah.
It's what
the
we use on crosswalks down there.
It's the brick overlay.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have we priced at all the emergency buttons that you see, like, at the hospital and at the university, in the event somebody's walking and doesn't have a phone and needs some form of...
The blue light, yep. Emergency thing. That was not a part of this. That could be something that
is
we
that
could
something
add.
We could spec out and mm-hmm. see how much of a cost that would be?
Yes.
I mean, we wouldn't need it... Well, I guess you would almost want it at every rest stop.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And are those electric? Those are electric
yes.
operated?
Yes.
So we'd have to look at the cost of running the electric down there. But yeah, we could take a look at that.
I would like to see a number for that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the lighting, even low level, wouldn't impact the neighbors that much, but still would have a decent pathway mm-hmm. lit, and I wouldn't see us stopping it dark. Use of it.
I think it's different. You know, I agree with him. I think it's different because this is very, very public. It goes right through the middle of town, from north to south, and ultimately the full length. And I think it adds element of security and also safety. So the security, fortunately, is not been a big issue in this town, but we're talking about many, many decades and hopefully generations in the future. Mm-hmm. So I think lighting would provide certainly that good feel, and I think it may be a more comfort to nearby residents, whatever, just to have some nice lighting there so it's easily visible. It's something, they hear a noise or somebody shouts, help me, they can see what's happening. I'm not sure I feel comfortable with a extended, almost to my house, dark pathway at night, even if we were trying to keep it off. And quite frankly, are we going to hire additional police patrols just to keep people off of it? I don't think so. It's just, you know, if we make it safe, make it attractive, and as secure as we can in this world, then I think we've met our obligations, and then we have to rely on the good behavior and common sense of the people who use it.
Yeah, and your Berlin Falls to Broad Street, you've got behind Twisters would be a good spot that doesn't impact any other neighbors. The one spot that goes down Bryant Avenue is already lit, and you get past that, going down Broad Street, it's all commercial too, so you're really not impacting a whole lot of residents.
No. And then I'd say right there by across from Twisters, the natural growth, being very kind, has grown up. It's taller than the ceiling. So right now, it's been kind of a buffer between trains for over 100 years. So I don't think walking or bicycling will be a big major impact at all. They won't even know you're there.
And the rest areas, you're not recommending trash receptacles?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I can see one or two.
At each one we were proposing.
Yeah,
the trash.
Because these are not the kind they just push away. They're more permanent, and you put the receptacle in, and the outer area is, I guess, what, like metal?
It's aluminum.
Wood.
Yeah, I think that, based on our experience downtown, is the more receptacles you have, the more, the less litter you have. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it's 100%, but most people, if it's convenient, will use it. If it's not convenient, they're not going to walk 20, 30 feet to find one, but once right handy, they will.
Do we need to move forward with including the motion with lighting and without brick and...
Well, actually, what I've heard so far is that you want us to add emergency access, I'll call them call buttons, there's probably a better term for it, but I think you'd like that sort of placed along that, you know, pathway so we can figure out what that's going to cost. And then it sounds like there's also an interest in adding lighting, at least in the initial segment that we're talking about for the Berlin Falls Park Broad Street portion. So we've got an estimate of what it would cost to install. We haven't included as the cost of actually what it would, you know, what it would cost the town to actually run those lights, but we can get that together without too much trouble.
And I don't know about everyone else, but I think, at least my standpoint, we can avoid the brick.
Amen.
could I make one comment about lighting?
Sure,
Dave. We've done a lot of back and forth on this with Tim's team, and there's several ways we could light it. Tim Lawrence's department can do the Victorian lights. I think that's where, you know, even though people have a back fence along some of it where there are residences, that's where you might have some resistance to how bright it would be coming in their bedroom window at night if they're lit all night. Probably would like a little direction. There are places we could do you've seen them other places in a park, the short path lights. But I would caution you about using too many of those because then it looks like a runway. When you cross or you're on it or you're crossing another street, then you have lights all the way down it. We thought where there's ambient light from street lights already that we wouldn't have lighting, where it might be at near an intersection or near one of the rest areas, we would have one of Tim's poles or a combination of Tim's poles and the short path lighting.
Let me make a suggestion, because I thought about this, just a second, is that two things. One, I'll call them blinders, can be used for any lighting if they're adjacent to a residence. It's not not unique. We have a couple in place already where telephone or power lines and light poles are literally outside someone's bedroom. We've been doing that for many years, so we could do that there. I think the other thing, too, is that generally speaking, this is not to be apart from Berlin. This is part of our historic community. So where it's practical, I'd like to see us put in the, we'll call them Victorian lantern-style lights. And again, because of their nature, you don't need them as compact as we do downtown, but we're talking about a lot more people per square foot. So that would be one thing. And I'll call them at-grade lighting, just something, come up with a plan where it makes sense. Because I think when we get out into the extremes where it's mostly nature, that might make sense, but where we've got a lot of movement of people and traffic and bicyclists, I'd rather have something that's very safe, but also complements what we've built this whole town around, which is our historic heritage. Yes, ma'am.
Suzanne Park, Baker Street. My question is adjoining properties. How do you propose to get the width?
Because we're using the railroad's right-of-way that already...
Well, we have a building where the right-of-way comes into our building. Are you going to take part of our building?
Dave, you're familiar with that location.
No, we're in the... we're within their right-of-way throughout the entire path. We've been given an access agreement by the railroad,
yes,
and it's 14 feet.
From the middle of the railroad track. They come in 14 feet, and that comes into our side building at Broad Street, the old railroad freight station.
It's where it's on that side.
I think it's on the west side.
It's 33. It's 33 feet the right of way, and we have 14 feet as an access agreement.
But you said you were coming on the west side of the railroad from Broad to the park. Right. Well, that would be the side that our building is on.
Talking about something.
Are you going to take part of the building?
So you're saying the building's in the right of way?
No.
The building was originally belonged to the railroad.
Right. I know that. Yes. And
so the railroad still has right-of-way into our building.
I don't think that's what, Tim, could you comment on that, what the survey showed there?
So, yeah, the building actually does encroach in the right-of-way, and around your building, we've actually shrunk that down to 5 feet, the path, around that one.
Right,
correct.
That's right. We knew we had to squeeze from there, here and there, but I wasn't aware you were that close to it there.
So that's why the pathway is 5 feet at that point.
First, around her building. Yes,
alongside
of her building. That's correct. Okay.
And first step in the whole process was Tim's team surveying the entire length of the access agreement
to ensure that there was enough space for the path. And because that was a giant question for us when we started looking at this project, was whether or not there'd be enough space.
Some of the outbuildings would have to be moved.
Yes, I think that's a fair question, and that yes will be the answer. I think it's very appropriate to shrink the width of the path because of the pre-existing condition for the building. Those outbuildings are not in any way I call permanent buildings, and I don't think it would cause any harm to your property or to the current occupants. And we're only talking 2 feet.
If we have to.
Excuse me?
We would be requested if we have to.
Yeah, of course. It's like how we get most things done. we just say, hey, this is what we're trying to accomplish, and this is what we'd like for you to do, and most of the time that takes care of it, no matter what the situation is. Yeah. And quite frankly, I think it'll be a much more higher awareness to the folks that are occupying the building, they'll get much more visibility than they've ever had, which I can only see as being a plus, and I just think it's got a lot of positive angles and doesn't require the building, the primary building being moved at all. Sure, thank you. Okay, so basically, I think the guidance you're looking for, and summarizing what I've heard so far, is that to I'll call it the total estimate, you call that, we'll call it the total estimate for the primary bikeway, right? With the only addition being lighting, mm-hmm. and that's something that working with Tim, he can be very specific. I would say, are we talking in terms of the initial one, are we in agreement that we're trying to go from Berlin Falls Park to Gulch?
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody agree?
I agree.
And I think there we'll have probably, when we resolve issues through there, we'll have a very good roadmap for what goes north and south, which I think will be simpler in many ways. And I want to also acknowledge we appreciate very much Maryland Delaware Railroad's total support and cooperation in providing that right-of-way access. That's not a given. Yes, ma'am.
I have another question. If we get the excursion train to go down, will that become in any way bother the bikeway?
No.
If the train is running?
No. I mean, but quite frankly, it'd be similar because it'd be much less than motor vehicles. But if the train is literally crossing the bikeway, at that point we would expect and that the bicyclist or pedestrian would stop and see the train coming. Yeah, and quite frankly, for 107 years it came up and down there, and all there was those flashing lights for motorists, and and the gates used to be there, and then they have a lot of problems with those. So I don't foresee that being a major hurdle as long as people are paying attention. And what worries me is if they're tuned into with earplugs and listening to a story or a book or music, that's something I think we're going to have to adjust that as a society. That there are some times when it's maybe just not a good idea. But that's an individual choice and responsibility. But I don't think it should preclude us from something which I think could become a really important asset to the community for both residents and our guests.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
So that summarizes, I think, the consensus or the sense of the council. What I'd also like to know is we're interested in applying for a grant for construction for that section from Berlin Falls Park to Broad Street. The grant will require a 20% match, which is roughly $75,000, depending on what the final estimate is for that segment. You've added lighting and all the, you know, these other amenities, so it might be a little bit more. We're going to do our best to make sure that $75,000 or that 20% includes substantial, if not 100%, in-kind services. But I can't guarantee exactly what mix of cash and in-kind services might be required as part of that match. So I just want to disclose that to you because we are going to be seeking your approval to apply for that grant tonight because it's going to be due in like 3 weeks.
And let me ask you this. When will the results of the grant was granted or
right.
not?
Yeah,
will that happen in this fiscal year?
It's hard to say. We might know in the fall. We may not know until January or February. And at this point, we're not sure exactly how much cash versus in-kind services we'd be able to provide. So, for example, you've added lights, and there's probably some time and materials associated with the electric utility. We may be able to provide those as in-kind as opposed to a cash match. So right now, your budget that we've got proposed for later on in the agenda does not include items associated with this project because we don't really know what's going to happen with the grant, exactly when it's going to come in, and what mix of in-kind versus cash contribution we might need to provide.
Shouldn't we include what it could be? And then if it's less, we don't spend the money?
It's hard to know. So our recommendation would be to not do that, to adjust the budget at the point in time when you know exactly what you need to include it, but not to put the full amount in tonight.
Right. But we're putting something in. We're putting nothing in at this
We're not
segment.
Putting anything in. Because we're not exactly sure what the right mix of cash and in-kind services could be, and we'll know more when we get the grant application complete and after we've submitted it and received the award. We don't know when the award's going to come in. It might be in the fall. It might be in January
or
February.
So what you're saying is we'd have to do a budget amendment to do the project.
Yes, okay. And our recommendation would be make that budget amendment when you're fully informed of exactly what you're looking for and what you need to do.
So the motion Just state what tonight, if you made the motion, as far as money.
Dean's moving to approve, so.
So basically, we're asking for us to approve the applicant.
Yeah, we're asking for your approval to apply for a grant in roughly $300,000 amount to Maryland Department of Transportation for the construction of the section of this bikeway that starts at Berlin Falls Park and ends in Broad Street, with the adjustments that you've made tonight, which I understand to be the inclusion of lighting, as well as the addition of I'll call them emergency
call
buttons. There's the word for it, call buttons. Did I miss anything?
Got it. Okay. So moved.
Okay. All right. Not going to repeat all that. We all know.
Please don't make me.
So we have a motion to that effect by Councilmember Burrell. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation. Thanks. Okay, put some papers over here. Okay. Next, we're now on item 4 of the agenda, which is resolution 2018-02, designating Berlin as a B-City, USA affiliate.
So this is a follow-up to the last meeting in which you had the Salisbury University students come and make a recommendation that we apply to be a B-City. You approved that. We went ahead and submitted the draft resolution from the previous meeting to the B-City folks. They took a look at it. They said, you're good to go. And so now it's back for your approval. So this is the resolution that outlines the steps and the requirements that we would need to follow in order to be a B-City. Jane has agreed to be the primary point of contact, and we will have an activated green team that we'll be using on a regular basis to ensure that there's lots of buzz around.
Lots of buzz.
Queen Bee. Jane's going to be Miss Bee.
Queen Bee.
She's Queen Bee.
Queen Bee.
She's Queen Bee.
Made that part of the resolution.
I'll make a motion.
So all we're asking for is a motion to approve.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we're approved.
Okay, we have a motion by
B-City, USA.
Affiliate, yes. We have a motion to approve resolution 2018-02 to designate the town of Berlin as a B-City, USA affiliate. And the motion was made by Councilman Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Great, thanks.
All right. Next, we have a public hearing. We're going to get ready to call a public hearing. I'll just tell you what we're getting ready to do. As part of a budget approval for fiscal year 2019, which begins July 1. We are recommending that we keep our property tax rates exactly where they currently are and have been for about 6 or 7 years. And that is a 68 for most property owners, at 68 cents per $100 valuation.
Since we lowered it.
Okay. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Right, so, remind everybody.
Now call to order a public hearing on a ordinance 2018-03 to set town of Berlin's real property tax rate at the existing level for fiscal year 2019. Do we have any comments, questions, or any public input on this resolution? Seeing none, I would call the public hearing closed. All right. Now, allows us to proceed to the introduction and first reading of the actual budget for FY19.
Mr. Mayor, we need to pass this ordinance.
Move to approve
on this ordinance, setting the tax rate.
Oh, okay.
Move to approve ordinance 2018-3.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilman Burrell to approve the setting of the real property tax rate for the new fiscal year. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Now we'll move on to the introduction and first reading of Ordinance 2018-02, which is the actual budget.
Great. So I have a summary of the proposed budget for you this evening. Total all funds proposed fiscal 19 budget is $17,963,594. that is roughly 5.7% less than the fiscal year budget for 2018. The amounts for the specific funds are general fund, $6.9 million, electric fund, $5.6 million, water fund, $1.2 million, sewer fund, $2.6 million, and the stormwater fund is $1.6 million. The capital projects for fiscal 19 are roughly $3.8 million. This is a decrease of about 17% from the capital projects all funds in fiscal 18, which was roughly $4.6 million. And yes, in response to questions from the press, we will have this summary available to you shortly after this meeting.
So,
It is posted online. And it's posted online.
But what we'll send to you electronically so you can ignore it or use it as you wish. Basically $1 million less in the budget, and about three quarters of that is a reduction in capital expenditures, and the balance is a reduction in operating expenses. Just to kind of summarize a very complicated document.
Right. Right.
So,
I have a question concerning the budget, is this the time for that?
We're going to have a public hearing at our next regularly scheduled meeting on which the budget will be voted on at that point.
But you can certainly ask a question now if you have it.
I was surprised to find out today that that this budget did not include an administrative assistant for the police department.
Mm-hmm.
We had spoke about that, and we were provided what I felt was legitimate information, which expressed a genuine need, and to find that position was not included was kind of disheartening, let's say.
May I make a note here that information that you requested, a couple of us during it was actually the utilities work session, but when the chief made his presentation to council, did not include the information the administrative town administrator had requested a few weeks before. So that information, to my knowledge, has never been received. And that was just one thing. The process was incomplete. And therefore, the ability for the town administrator to make a recommendation to the mayor and council was not made, and some of the information that was provided was basically from 2011. And to give you an example, I can't remember all the details, but one of the things that was requested was, in the verbal request for the position, was a brief summary of what the calls for service were in other communities, and so the town administrator asked that we receive an email. It didn't have anything fancy that showed what these calls for service were in these other communities by name, and how that compared to the town of Berlin, and that's just one thing I know. Yeah. And there was some other discussions. So my hope is that we didn't hear anything from 2011 until the budget year 2000. That was for budget, was it 12? But we didn't hear anything for 6 years, and I think next year there's an opportunity in the early part of the process, which is to my knowledge, all of our department heads first make inquiries to the town administrator about personnel increases, either full-time or part-time, in February.
Roughly. Yeah.
Maybe there might be an exception into March. But for something, if it's been considered for that long, I think we need to just follow the budget process that has worked very well. And I think that the full council would be, after the town administrator set her vetting, then that would be proposed as like everything else was. I don't think this was any ill intent here, but I also think that, you know, we're not looking for anybody to suffer, but at the same time, I have concerns whenever we don't follow a process that has gotten us to a very good point financially, providing a lot more services than we ever have, while, you know, growing our employees, but certainly not as rapidly as the amount of services we provide.
I understand everything you said, but allow me to ask some questions about this process. Mm-hmm. It is the mayor's budget that is approved by the council. Does this process allow for the council to include or suggest or have input into that development of the budget?
If you have something you want to propose, that certainly can do it before or during the workshops, or that's what those all for.
I mean, if you don't mind me jumping in, I think that's part of why we have the work sessions
I guess in my naivete, I just assumed that it had been included. And I'm just a naive guy.
Yeah. It's not something we do every day. You know? It's not something we do every day.
But would it be appropriate for me to say I would like to see that included in this budget?
The full council can take that that recommendation. We can vote on it. And I will have to say, though, I do see that as going around a budget process that has served us very well. And quite frankly, it's you know, are we going to say we're going to operate one way for all other departments, but we're going to make exception for
I'm not that kind of guy. I just want you to know that. But this is something I think is needed. And if it's within my authority as a member of this council, I would like to move that position be included in this year's budget.
And I will bring your motion up for a vote, but I also say, if it's supposed to be my budget, why in the hell I know a damn thing about it? You know? I mean, I'm not hard to get along with. I'm very accessible. And the last time I heard anything about this was in 2011, for heaven's sakes. So I'm just saying, you know.
Yep.
Now it's up to the council. It's not, you know, it's just a judgment everybody will have to make. And so anyway, we have a motion by Councilman Burrell. And I don't know what the amount is, but whatever the...
Jeff, do you remember the amount of the position?
Salary is $38,000. About $44,000.
With benefits.
Okay.
We're going to question that first, or are we just going to go to a vote for it?
Question what?
What his motion wants to be.
Well, you obviously want to have a discussion, that's fine. Whatever.
Well, I have a discussion, and I understand your point, Captain Burrell. I really do, but I also appreciate what the mayor's saying in that if the town administrator has asked for certain information and that she hasn't been given it, I do feel it is a runaround because there are certain things I'd like to see some of the department heads also entertained with. But we do have this process set in point. And four of you up here actually have done very well getting this town to where it is following that process. I think it's something that we should stick with, that if it's not been given that process, it just seems a little strange to me that all of a sudden it was thrown out there at the last minute that this position be brought in, and now here we are discussing it again.
You know, Tom, we all have an opinion, mm-hmm. but the bottom line is we all have a vote. So I made the motion. So this could be either voted up or down. Okay. And And as always, I will stand by the decision of the council.
Appreciate it.
What was the full benefit? 40?
44.
44.
Okay, we any further discussion?
I know we heard this before from the chief, but I'd like to hear the chief expel a little bit on this position. Why it's needed.
First of all, I want to go ahead and clarify one thing. The deadline was set to go ahead and provide the information. The information was provided, and when clarity was asked, and in most of the discussions were actually with Mr. Fleetwood, and the emails were with Mr. Fleetwood to say what exactly was to be provided, and that's what provided. If the answer was there was not enough information, therefore we're not going to go ahead and move forward with the position, that would have been it. My statement is I wished and I had put in for. And the reason why I made the statement is I put in and I made the request is because I have been requesting every year since 2011 for different things. And my belief was the mayor and council, as the mayor says, why is it the first time I'm ever hearing about it since 2011? So if I go ahead and give a document to a town administrator or make a statement, and if the mayor makes a statement is why is it the first time I'm hearing about it, then that's what the disconnect is. The information was to other departments of what information was provided. Jeff, I better list it. I need a reason why. I need to go ahead and have a job description and how much for the position. So those things were actually listed. It was sent. Again, if it was not sufficient information, I have no problems, and we can go ahead and say it was not sufficient information, and no further. Again, I've actually there haven't had assistance since I've been a police chief, which is 15 years. And again, if I have to wait another year or another year, I'll still do the same job I've been doing the best I can do. But again, my statement was I have wished, and that's on the recording, and I had requested, and that was for your information to know. That's what I did. That was not for any other reason. It was not to go ahead and say, well, I think you guys ought to change your mind. It was, since this period of time, I've been asking or stating certain things, and if I ever felt, because again, I have not run up to the mayor's office and said, Mayor, I think you ought to do this, and they're going around anyone. Never done it, and again, you can go ahead and attest to it. So, again, any questions you have after that statement, I'll go ahead and answer them for you.
Thank you for your comment. I stand by what I said.
I have two questions. First, for town administrator, did you receive sufficient information?
No. No, the conversations I had with the chief focused on workload. The focus of his pitch to me was, everybody else has one, I want one too. And part of the conversation included, there's some other administrative positions in the department. Is it possible for them to take that work on? And the answer was no. And I said, well, help me understand. I want to see what the workload is of this police department in Berlin compared to some of the other communities that he mentioned, specifically Pocomoke. And I said, provide that to me so I can see. Because I feel like my responsibility to you all and to the taxpayers is to make sure that we're making thoughtful decisions when it comes to hiring people. And if there's a way to get that work completed within the existing employee makeup, I feel an obligation to vet that for you. And I have not received that information. And so from my standpoint, I wouldn't recommend hiring that position because I don't think it's really been vetted to the full extent that I would want to, being responsible to you.
Right. I actually completed the letter. And again, most of our is emailed. It was never a written response to a response, not saying that I need this, this, or this. That's how, again, very detail-oriented, you will go ahead and see that is how our town administrator operates. In those responses, I will either provide the information. Again, I had no response to my actual memo. You actually got to see the memo. That's the reason why, and that's the question. Why do you need this position? That's the information I provided. Just, again, if it's not enough information, so be it, and we can go ahead and move forward.
Are you open to working with the town administrator to try and figure out an amicable way to assess whether that position is a need or not?
Number one, I don't have a problem working with the town administrator on any task.
That's not what I meant.
And definitely moving forward on this topic, I'll definitely go ahead and work with her and provide whatever information that is necessary.
Because I just feel like I don't have enough information to really say yes.
Let me say my motion is based on the discussions we had here, and I guess my assumption that this thing would be added. Well, needless to say, today I found that it was not added. And G, I ask you to call the question.
We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to add the administrative position to the Berlin Police Department as requested by the chief at an approximate cost of $44,000 a year with benefits. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, all opposed?
No. Opposed.
So let me make sure I'm right. Is the vote 2-4 and 3 against?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, I'm hoping that this will not be a situation we'll be facing again next year, and that all parties can all learn from this and make sure that that there's no question that the Berlin Police Department is doing a very good job in its law enforcement responsibilities. They've done a very good job of designing and creating a new police facility. This is about a budget process, and let's face it, budgets are not fun. But I think the procedures that we've implemented and brought into place over the last several years have served us well, and I look forward to seeing that process followed in the fiscal 20 budget, and hopefully we'll have a different outcome. Okay? Thank you. Alrighty, let's see. Now we're back to introducing this ordinance.
It's a first reading of an ordinance as a follow-up to the previous meeting we had when Worcester Youth and Family came and asking for permission to have a fee waiver, and there were some suggestions to make a modification to the code, but I'm going to let Mary speak to it a little bit further if there's more she wants to say.
The only addition in this ordinance to the code is the statement that it's underlined in the copy of the ordinance, which grants the town administrator the ability to waive fee reservation fees for the park's facilities as long as proof of nonprofit status has been provided. So it essentially follows the discussion that we held at the last meeting with both Worcester Youth and I believe Steve Decatur also made the request. It just eliminates the need for them to come before the mayor and council when that proof is right there.
For the fee waiver.
I'm sorry?
But is this for the fee waiver?
Yes, yeah, it doesn't eliminate them coming if they're having a special event
right. Or
something like that. But the fee waiver itself would be able to be waived by the town administrator.
I think with an $18 million budget, we've got better things to do and to look at and investigate. And personally, I think it's just a very reasonable procedural thing.
And I just want to thank Mary for turning this around so quickly, because it really was just the last meeting. So.
I'm sorry?
Thank you for doing this so quickly, because it really just popped up at the last meeting. So.
I'll make a motion that we approve ordinance number 2018-04.
First reading.
Apologize. Jump the gun. I'll see you next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That will be on the next agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yes. June 11th.
Reports and our first departmental report with Finance Director Natalie Seale.
Okay, ma'am, thank you. I don't have anything. Thank you.
Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Bowman.
I also don't have any report this evening.
Okay, we're on a roll.
I'm making space for my
now we'll put us on the spot. Quick Queen Bee Jane Crow.
Well, all right, you got to start now.
Nickname
stick. I have a few things. We are reading meters this week, so you'll see us around your homes and places of business. Also, some residents on Pine, Maple, and Cedar may see a water service interruption tomorrow between 9:30 and 3:30. They have been notified, but I'm just saying it for the public at large. It shouldn't be that entire time, but making it a larger window so that people can prepare accordingly.
And that's for that stormwater project?
For the stormwater project, yeah. One of the water lines has got to be relocated. And then Friday at Henry Park, I'd like to welcome anybody and everybody to come to a tree planting dedication for Wendell Purnell. We'll be planting a tree, a dogwood tree is one of his favorites, and we will also be providing lunch for anybody who's interested. The community's all welcome.
What time?
12 o'clock on Friday at Henry Park. Under the pavilion, hopefully we'll get a reprieve from the rain.
Great. Thank you.
And this is June 1st, correct?
June 1st, yes. 12 o'clock until until the food runs out.
Okay.
But Wendell was obviously a member of this community and committed to the service and dedicated to this town, so we wanted to give him.
Very nice. Very nice. Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening. I just have a few things to report on. Over at Franklin Avenue, AT&T is installing, installed a generator for their facilities on top of the water tower, which is also going to provide backup power to the town's well house. We've completed our work there. We're just waiting on AT&T to finish theirs, and then we're going to have a short outage chain at some point to connect it up with their generator and run it through its paces just to make sure everything works properly. And then also, some time back in the budget, you approved this year's budget. You approved the purchase of these devices called Trip Savers. Basically, they go on the lines that are on the outskirts of town, and they protect any outage that occurs beyond that point from operating the rest of the town. We actually have those devices are in. They're programmed and ready to go. We just need to install them at that point. And then, as Jane mentioned, we have meter reading today and tomorrow. And then over at Stephen Decatur Park, the company that was going, contractor, that was going to do the boring under the tennis courts to feed the new light poles, they've completed the boring. So now, probably, I would say this Thursday, we should be able to start on installing the wire in it to feed the light poles. That's all I have.
Anyone have any questions for Tim? All right. Next is Police Chief Arnold Downey.
We'll start off with the storm event that we had last week. And we want to go ahead and give credit to the guys that went ahead and got that 5-ton out. And actually, they went in the water to go ahead and get some people who were in distress out. It was a total of 3 vehicles that were actually rendered inoperable during the water, during the storm. And they actually had to physically remove one family, a mother and 2 children, out of one of the vehicles. We've had several people ask the question, why do you have those military vehicles, or the question, and we would say this is the reason why. Not only in rain, but we're actually talking about in snow. And again, a whole lot of times you would end up waiting for the fire department, who actually sometimes have vehicles that actually they get damaged, and we actually lost a police car, you know, years back. So again, we have to definitely have to support the actually military surplus on program and the 2 vehicles and the guys willing to learn how to drive those and actually willing to go in and get those guys or individuals out of those vehicles. We remind folks not to go ahead and drive in the high water, but again, sometimes that happens.
Turn around, don't drown.
There you go.
That's the phrase.
And again, Public Works, they did a wonderful, and Water Resources, on a lot of the side streets that were actually flooded. As soon as they found that, they went to those streets, cleaned the drains, and they actually worked it. And these back areas, again, the water just came, and we're talking about raining for 10 days in a row.
17
now. But at that point, it was 10. And again, the ground only can take so much water. Memorial Day events. We're definitely busy, and it was a wonderful time to go to American Legion Post on Sunday for their annual event. With that, we either found out about how many people gave so much, but also they gave to us $1,000 on Friday, a donation, and they continue to give. So we can't go ahead and express enough of both American Legion Post, what they do for the community, and what they end up doing for us. So, again, thank you for your service and for supporting your local community. The parade, we talk about a big success. Thousands of people, you know, even with the weather being questionable, it went very well, all things considered. And the next day, if you went to the park, you would never even know that anybody was there. So, again, for all of the different departments that make it all happen, we obviously you did a wonderful job in doing that. And we're getting ready for graduation parties. So we're up there looking at social media. We're listening to what's going on. And we're up there hoping that all the kids are planning something safe to do. And everybody go Ocean City.
I like that. Very good. Put that on the website. That's great. Thank you, Chief. Next is...
I have one question. Sure. Next year for the Memorial Day Parade, mm-hmm. Can we station somebody at the end of the parade at the intersection of 113? Just because there were a lot of people crossing pedestrian traffic and bicycle traffic at the end of the parade coming
right. 113
each direction.
At Uncle Willie's?
Yes.
Gotcha. Right now, we actually had our phone call in to Merlin. We can never do it by ourselves with that many right. people. To the Sheriff's Office, the State Police. The State Police called back after their third accident, and they never were able to go ahead and help us. So we were really... Three guys, whole big event. And
it went well, but I just think that that's one area where we could possibly improve.
We'll definitely call a little bit earlier and see if we can go ahead and get some more help from our allied agencies to go ahead and have that happen.
Thank you, sir.
One of those challenges that comes with growth and success.
Oh, yes.
But that was, at least from my observation without doing a head count, I think the biggest turnout Memorial Day Parade in Berlin has ever had.
And again, with the weather, how it was, again, we've had things go a little bit longer. But we're talking about setup started off at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the last individuals moved out at 8:30. So it was a long day also.
But, I mean, having that crosswalk there is just a big help in itself.
Yeah. It's again, another one of those things where it's going to be an ongoing 21st century challenge as to how we safely get people as pedestrians and bicyclists across a unfortunately misplaced line.
we give credit to their committee because they actually got there met four different times and met with town staff also, and they came up with the different, you know, things, and they're willing to go ahead and have more volunteers, more staff that had more than they've ever had, you know, participate and come forward. So it means a lot when they are actually they're supported in that way also.
And that is a good reminder. Thank you, Councilman Kendall, because we are anticipating, I can't say the exact timing because it's a Maryland Department of Transportation project, but when they're going to be upgrading that intersection. So whatever they've learned since the original pedestrian crosswalks, which were not that long ago, I think the first one was in Salisbury in 2003, and the second one was like, the second ones were like a couple years ago in the city, but hopefully they gained any new technology or something because I anticipate that as traffic ironically increases with the full utilization of 113, we're also going to have an increase in the number of pedestrians and bicyclists. So it's going to
it's
be something.
Something.
It's going to be something, yeah. Yeah, but thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. All right, next is Planning Director Dave Engelhart.
Good evening, Mayor. I have nothing further to add this evening.
Okay, thank you. And Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few things from me. The farmers market, it has been decided by the community that it will be held on Sundays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. starting June 17th. It'll run every Sunday from June 17th through September 30th. And I just got notice today that I did receive a grant from the Worcester County Arts Council to be able to provide financial assistance for live music during the farmer's market.
Very nice.
Where would it be located?
Yeah. At Artisan's Green.
Oh, Artisan's Green.
Go Organics.
Artisan's Green. Okay. Like I mentioned before, there's nothing better than a great public-private partnership, and this is just a continuation of that unused space in downtown Berlin. It's a perfect location for a farmer's market.
Over by Go Organics. House by Salvage.
Go Organic.
Yeah, behind the organic.
There's a big field back there.
A big yard.
A yard.
Yard. Yard. I wouldn't call it a field, but we're like yard. But yard. It's a nice yard.
Space.
Okay, great. That's very good news. Yes.
That's all I have.
Well, actually, it's the backyard of what has been for at least the last 30 years all called the Mariner House.
Mariner House.
Mr. Pitt's old house.
Mr. Pitt's old house. Yep. Now we're going back. And hopefully we're still hopeful that someday that house will be revitalized. And,
it will be.
Yeah, I think it's more likely than ever. It's just a matter of, again, like many things, it's the right thing to do. The owners just have to find out, I think, the right circumstances and time. So we're very hopeful. It's in a wonderful location. Be a huge asset. Okay. Next is, thank you, Ivy. Any questions for Ivy? Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a couple things. Open enrollment is coming, gone, it's done.
It's come.
Employees involved at this done. Point, but now you can get the process of checks and balances versus what you have now, what you elected it. Is that really what you wanted? And all the we have onboarded as of today, as far as seasonal employees are concerned, we have four seasonals on the payroll today, three in public works and one at the spray site for water. So the big intake, if you will, for seasonals will be over the course of the next 30 to 45 days.
That's it? Good. Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Jeff? Now we have the town administrator's report.
I have just a few things. We're having some challenges with trash pickup. It seems not everybody's getting their trash out by 6 a.m. for pickup by our public works crew. So to the extent that the press could just help us remind folks that we really need your trash out before 6 a.m., that's when they swing by. A friendly reminder about that. Also, the Mayor and Council have approved a new nonprofit grant process as a follow-up to last year's budget. We did this earlier in the year. I'm holding an orientation meeting on this new process on June 20th in the Council Chambers at 4 p.m. I'll send an email out to all the folks that have asked questions about the process, as well as folks that were currently receiving donations. But we're also just going to generally let it out there. That's why I'm asking Josh and Charlene if they could just make a note to let people know if you're interested in applying. We need you to come to that meeting on June 20th at 4 p.m. in the council chambers. On June 5th at BIS at 6:30, Matrix Consulting is going to come and give a presentation on the fire and EMS funding study. And so we've got some information out there on Facebook, but anything you guys can do to, in terms of helping to get it out in the newspaper would be appreciated. And then lastly, I have just a storm update. My pictures aren't as dramatic as the Chief's, but if we could just go to the next screen. So one of the things we did was go around. I asked EA to go take some pictures of areas where there was typical flooding. And so this is over by Flower Street. Next slide, please. And so you can actually see here in this area where the car is in the picture in the upper left-hand corner, I have seen, I'm sure DNL already have seen it more than I have, the street flooded over. So really these are photos taken on May 18th, and you can see that while the creek and the waterway is pretty full, the traditional view of the flooding over the road's not there. So to me, this was a success story for one of our key stormwater projects that I didn't want you guys to miss. So some good pictures
there. You've got to realize, too, behind that red building, that's where the holding pond is. So it's a lot of water.
The offline wetland.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't able to get a good picture of that. I think it was a little challenging for them to get back there. But that between the combination of the expanded culvert and then that capacity has really helped this whole area out. Next slide, please. This is an old picture from 2013 of Williams Street. Next slide, please. This is what we did in terms of the offline wetland construction for that project. Next slide, please. This is what that offline wetland looked like on the 18th of May. So it was pretty full, but it didn't actually breach. Next slide, please. And then this is what the culvert looked like. So again, to me, it's another example of a successful stormwater project in action, reducing flooding in some key areas in town. I think, is that the last slide, Kelsey? I think it is. So just an update on some successful stormwater projects we've put in place in action, so you can actually see what they look like in intense rain situations. And that's it for me.
For our
street. I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear.
The ditch that goes down beside the railroad track from Broad Street to the fire company.
Yeah.
Is that railroad property or is that town property?
Do you know, Jane?
It's within the railroad right away. We work in conjunction with them, but we always have to get permission to work. But it's basically theirs.
10 Baker Street was completely flooded in the backyard up to the foundation of the house. And this is the first time it's happened. But the ditch has just never been anything done to it.
Well, we'll reach out to them and see what we can coordinate something.
I think Broad Street had the house behind them on Broad Street was totally covered also.
Yeah.
So thank you for telling us. And that's what they do. If Darrell can figure out, maybe do a preliminary look, and then so far we found out, working with the railroad to be a very positive experience. A lot of times it's just you have to go through the red tape, which is part of railroads are the oldest part of our transportation, or one of the oldest. So, but thank you for bringing that attention. Okay. I don't have any comments.
No, sir. I have nothing this evening.
I have one thanks to Jane and Public Works. I had a family call me about some furniture. They were giving the wrong information that we picked up furniture every other week. And the person that called me, she lives in New York, and she came down and purchased new furniture for a mother that's taking treatments at the center over here, and she had no way to get rid of her furniture. And they took care of it for me, so I thank them a lot for that.
Good neighbor.
Yeah, and you know who she is, Becky.
How is Becky?
I know all of this is relative, and it all depends on who it is happening to, but not to belittle the flooding here in the town of Berlin. But thank God we're not in the situation of Ellicott City today. That was, yes, we don't have a hill, so it's something said for being flat. but it is because here in the town of Berlin, we took action. We saw a problem, and we are attempting to address that problem. And now need to ask a favor of staff. We get weekly reports, and in my zeal to digest these reports, I'm not familiar with the acronyms you use. So if you could use less acronyms, I sure would appreciate it. I think I read something, and I don't even know if this was in a weekly report, but I think Jeff was having some type of training.
SWPP.
What is it, Jeff?
Close enough.
so I thought, squat.
Good point.
And I think it's a very good point. I may make a suggestion, at least, and I see it used most of the time still in at least print publications, but the general rule that may be ancient, but I still think works, is on the first
time you use it,
you put the acronym in parentheses right behind it. And then it's possible, it keeps you from having, especially some of these names that are very awkward and long, but I think if we do that not only in our press releases, but also any communications we have on all on our website or any other kind of communication, if all department heads would just make a note of that, because, you know, ironically, we're doing more, but we're also incurring new ones that some of us have never heard of.
Yeah. Now I know what DBF is.
Me too.
So, Jeff, what was it? What was it, Jeff?
When we purchased the Rowan Falls Park, they're in the correct water wrong chain. Storm runoff, we have an obligation to monitor that.
Uh-huh.
So DBF, they're actually going to come on site and do the training.
No? EA.
EA, I'm sorry. EA is coming on site to do the training with select staff for the annual requirement that we have to monitor them.
And the training was
for? You have to have a written program for any kind of standard protocol, whether it's a chemical spill or stormwater overflow or sewer overflow. But there has to be written processes on what to do. And for Berlin Falls Park, we have a very specific written SWIP, Stormwater Pollution Prevention Program.
Okay.
And every single thing is spelled out, what to do and what situation and who to contact and how many times you have to bag it, turn around.
About 94 pages.
It's very, it's very elaborate.
Swift.
Yes.
Jane, Jeff, you did A-OK. And I hope of that was been forgotten already. Okay. Do we have any other comments? Right. Do we have any comments from the public or anybody wish to address the council? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Suzanne Parks, Baker Street. I'm here to thank the council for what they did on Baker Street. It is just 100% better. We don't sound like we have ripple streets on strips on the street. The blacktop is wonderful, and I just want to thank you for all the residents of Baker Street.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I told you'd get done. I didn't say when.
They're very kind of you, and we appreciate it. We appreciate it very much.
Yes, thank you.
Any other comments, pro or con? Okay. Do we have any comments or questions from the press?
Oh, your turn. Move to adjourn.
Some traditions we don't want to stop.
Thank you.
sign.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Oh, so you're ready to go. Have a good one.
See ya. And then just two here.
This way I have to walk. Play a little smaller.
Yeah. I know, those forms are tight. Makes paper clip section.
That's it?
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Hey, 8:30? Not bad for all that.
Yeah.
I'm 8 better. Considering the agenda, yeah. I'm relieved.
Just got my final grade during the meeting. I'm done with my master's.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thanks. I just got it during the meeting. I was like, I'm going to log in real quick.